This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:37 in the morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Xiaoning and Philip. In about half an hour, we have the opening bell where we'll check out how the FBM KLCI begins trading for the day. But before that, let's talk about financial scams in Malaysia. In 2021, Malaysians lost more than half a billion ringgit to financial scammers. That figure has increased drastically, with losses amounting to more than 400 million ringgit just in the first half of this year.
In response, Bank Negara Malaysia announced five additional measures and security features to be taken by financial institutions. Among the latest measures is requiring banks to migrate from SMS one-time passwords to more secure forms of authentication for online activities and transactions, as well as a cool-off period for the first-time online banking service registrations. Now, users will also be restricted to one mobile device for authentication, and banks will be required to set up dedicated hotlines for customers to report financial scam incidents.
Meanwhile, banks will now have to immediately alert customers when fraudulent activity is detected in their accounts and to block such transactions. So what's the rationale for the rollout of these measures, and what other steps is the central bank taking to curb fraudulent financial activities?
For some answers, we speak to Aznan Abdul Aziz, Assistant Governor of Bank Negara Malaysia. Good morning, Aznan. Thanks very much for joining us. Now, as mentioned earlier, Bank Negara unveiled five additional security measures to be taken by financial institutions in a bid to strengthen safeguards against financial scams. What's the timeline for implementation? When will everything be fully rolled out?
Thank you. And first of all, thank you to BFM for inviting me to be on your show this morning. I wish to highlight first that online scam is not a problem unique to Malaysia, but it is a growing issue of concern worldwide. The five measures that you mentioned that was announced by Bank Negara last week, they are really not something new. We have been continuously monitoring and learning from the evolving tactics used by scammers. And from time to time, we issue new security advisories and guidelines to the financial industry for them to take additional security measures to address these new tactics. So for your information, banks are expediting the migration from SMS OTP to a more secure form of authentication. Major banks have started this exercise well before we announced this last week. As customers yourself, you may have been receiving notifications from your banks asking you to authenticate transactions using their mobile banking apps rather than SMS OTP. So for example, you have Maybank Secure to You, which was really launched in 2017, and CMB Secure Tech in 2018. We are monitoring closely and engaging with banks in the implementation of these measures. Different banks are moving at different speed, or they are rather at different parts of this migration journey. In particular, some smaller banks may face challenges to implement these measures immediately. It also depends on consumers' readiness to migrate. For some of us, it is easier, but for others, it may take a while to get used to the new system. Nevertheless, all banks have been given has given their commitment to implement this OTP migration by June 2023.
Okay, but what other forms of authentication is Bank Negara exploring? Are there newer methods? Because this migration.
So for example, like I said, you have your Secure to You, which doesn't use SMS, so it uses the bank's own applications or apps. Mm. There are also hardware tokens that are either attached to your phone or has to be within the proximity of your phone for you to be able to conduct banking transactions. So those are some of the new authentication methods that banks are implementing.
I mean, you're trying to stop it at the transaction point, but we have to go upstream, isn't it, to kind of address this. So the classic example being the Optus incident in Australia, where you saw this telco breach having really potential knock-on effects on financial institutions. So the question here is collaboration, working with key stakeholders across the board with telcos. How easy is that process with working with the telcos, especially with MCMC?
All right. Yes, you're absolutely right, Philip. We need all relevant parties on board to combat financial scams, even those in the telco sector. So this is really not a job solely for Bank Negara or the banking industry. If anything, to combat scams effectively, we need a whole of government and whole of nation approach. Bank Negara Malaysia has been engaging MCMC on how we can further improve security and communication channels. Our conversation with them have been very positive. MCMC have been taking steps to address this issue. So for example, they have been blocking dodgy SMS, terminating phone numbers used by scammers, and also to take down fake and phishing websites. Scammers obviously are getting cleverer, and so MCMC will also be working with the telco industry to step up measures in this area.
And public awareness is also key in preventing more financial scams. And not only just being aware of the financial scams out there, but also what other forms of authorization are available. I think that would also require people to download apps and know what to do. So what kind of steps are being taken to increase that form of vigilance?
Okay, as you mentioned, scammers evolve over time. So this SMS to OTP really has been around for quite a while. And they are the most convenient method because everyone basically has a phone and you don't need a smartphone to be able to use SMS OTP. However, as we said, the security measures has to be enhanced and improved over time. And part of that really is about educating various public members of the public on this issue. So together with the financial industry, we have been conducting various initiatives to increase awareness. This is so important because based on a recent survey that we conducted in conjunction with the Financial Literacy Month, which is happening now, by the way, about a third of respondents mentioned that they are willing to share their passwords or PIN number with their family members and close friends. Of course, sharing passwords is a big no-no, and this statistic is quite troubling. Customers need to take responsibility for their banking security credentials, just like how they should take good care of their house keys and other prized possessions. And just as there are robbers in the real world, there are also criminals and scammers online. So it's important to take safety precaution in the physical world as well as the virtual world. So that's why Bank Negara and the banking industry have been working to educate the public and create awareness. You should check out our Facebook page, Amaran Scam, where we share latest financial scam tactics and how the public can protect themselves against such scams. For those who haven't followed the page, please do so. Of course, the work to educate customers never ends, and we need to work harder and harder. Yeah. Just over the weekend, we launched the Financial Literacy Month 2022, which is a nationwide show.
Okay, and Aznan, I'm very curious because like you mentioned earlier on, scammers are fast to adapt, quick to change their modus operandi. So I want to know, how is Bank Negara staying one step ahead, actually?
Okay, so this is, we do have discussion groups with the banks and also with customers to understand the latest modus operandi. One of the ones that we are seeing now is really what is called account takeover, where scammers trick customers into revealing their credentials, including their password and OTP. They are also able to download or trick the customers into downloading malicious apps, which are able then to read whatever the customers are typing on their devices, and also diverting the SMS OTP to the scammers. So this is the situation where sometimes the customer says that they have not received OTP from or notification from their banks. What happened is the scammers are able to divert such a notification to their own phone. So this is where, consumer diligence and awareness is important. And we learn from the scams to build new defenses against scams.
And just a quick one, right? I mean, the issue is that many of these scams operate outside Malaysia's jurisdiction. To what extent is the ASEAN cooperation and enforcement here in clamping down all these activities then?
You're right, Philip. Scams is not just a problem in Malaysia. There are a problem everywhere, including with our neighbours. And many of you would know there were a spate of crime incidents or scam incidents in Singapore last year and early this year. In fact, it's happening everywhere, including in ASEAN. So it's important for us to pay attention to new scam tactics elsewhere, which might one day reach our shores in Malaysia. There's also much for us to learn from each other, such as determining appropriate countermeasures, which work elsewhere and which we can consider implementing in Malaysia. Now, as scammers and criminals know no borders, our police and other law enforcement agencies also work with our counterparts overseas to combat financial scams. We exchange information on scams with foreign authorities, including financial intelligence units and, given the increasingly complex criminal networks.
Aznan, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Aznan Abdul Aziz, Assistant Governor of Bank Negara Malaysia, giving us the rationale for the recent measures introduced to curb financial scams and what the bank as well as the financial ecosystem overall needs to do to curb this problem. It is 8:46 in the morning. We're heading into some messages. We're going to come back with the discussion on GE15. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.